Welcome to Brex the Black, where we discuss finance for operators. We have our CFO here today to talk about raising from SoftBank. Michael?
Yes, that's a hot topic these days. And I like to say, I did a raise from SoftBank back in 2015 before it was fashionable. It's become very fashionable. And that was a raise actually before the Vision Fund. So there's a, so this was just when it was still kind of the telecom company in Japan, and they were raising the Vision Fund. So we raised $1 billion led by SoftBank back in 2015. And it was an interesting experience. I was 27 at the time.
Working at SoFi,
social finance, the student loan company. I was the VP of finance. And the round started when I was in China with the CEO kind of kicking off the round. And we sort of got an inquiry from SoftBank. I remember I sent a couple follow-ups. I wasn't sure. It kind of just went away. And then all of a sudden we got this notice like, oh, please come to San Carlos where they have a U.S. office. And we went in there and we were to meet with Masa, who's the main guy. And he was on this big screen in the room. And I remember it was kind of awkward. I didn't know where to sit. Because I was the VP of finance, the CEO was with me, he was kind of doing the pitch, and I was like there with the computer in case there were questions.
I see.
And
so Masayoshi-san was like telecommed in,
but like a godlike size.
I see.
So it was very, yeah. And then
if you're kind of telecom in, that's
right. And there was like tea kind of, cause it was like a Japanese vibe. And I was again with my little computer kind of ready to answer any questions. There were none. So I don't think I really talked. But we were raising about 200 million at the time. And then Masa-san was like, no, you're raising $1 billion. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Yep. And so it was kind of crazy. So we came out, the CEO, Mike, and I were in the car on the way back. He drove a Tesla. And I had I always have a MiFi with me. It's like a little Wi-Fi. I don't believe in the carrier. I don't believe in the Wi-Fi that comes from the phone. It's not strong enough. So I have
not
my own little,
for your uses.
No, exactly. So I have my own little device. I turn it on. I'm like trying to email the board. I'm like, how the hell are we going to get this approved? Like we were trying to raise 200 million. Now we're raising $1 billion, dilution, everything. But anyway, I'm, sending emails. We're talking, everything's going crazy. And all of a sudden somehow we got a car accident. And
what?
We hit the curb. I think Mike tried to blame me. I'm not sure exactly who was to blame. And so anyway, the tire was flat. We were two tech idiots trying to change the tire. Did not work. And Teslas are hard to do. So we call the people. They're coming. And we walk across the 101 highway to have dinner at Denny's because it was walking distance.
While your car is just on the side of the road.
On the side of the road. And I said to Mike at the time, I said, we're the only people who've ever raised $1 billion and celebrated at Denny's. So that was the story. I think
you might be the only people who have ever celebrated at Denny's.
We might be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is common. Every CEO I've worked with has like very specific taste in food. I don't know if that's a requirement. They've also been tall. Maybe that's a requirement to be tall and have specific taste in food. But Mike had all these rules. Enrique here at Brex, he only eats meat. He doesn't eat vegetables and this and that. So it's keeping up with the diets is hard.
Right.
I just eat whatever is sort of available.
Yeah, yeah.
But on SoftBank, I think the interesting thing that they've done or what they do is they sort of push you as a company, almost like a coach would, and say like, no, raise more. If you raise more, how much faster can you grow? It's almost this idea that raising a lot of capital is a moat. So you kind of build a moat around your business because you're the first to raise so much money that other little ankle biters that are trying to compete can't, because SoftBank has sort of picked this winner by injecting so much cash into it.
Do you think it's largely a psychological thing? Because once you get up to that scale, I mean, how much can you really execute on in 200 million versus a billion?
I know what you, so it depends on the business. So if you think about, I mean, SoFi was capital intensive. And so it was kind of a moat. Because it allowed them refinancing student loans, so they were allowed to kind of incubate lending businesses on their balance sheet, whereas other startups wouldn't have that ability. So I think in capital intensive businesses, it's probably more than psychology. In businesses that are running huge losses, like they for food delivery, right? I think they've been pretty active in DoorDash, although it hasn't necessarily picked a winner because you have Caviar and obviously Uber Eats and Grubhub.
So that's just a very competitive space.
But so I don't think it actually worked there. I think with SoFi, it did sort of work. I think it could work in other, you know, so driverless is another area that's very capital intensive. So it does seem that SoftBank, and they've definitely done investments there. So it does seem that SoftBank tends to try and pick markets where capital intensity is there such that capital injection could be a competitive advantage. But I agree in the sense of like social networks, having more money doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, yes, you can hire more talent, et cetera, but like you said,
that's not the primary.
That's not the primary thing. It's more about product and usage and network effects and all the stuff that you can't just throw money at.
So if somebody wanted to raise money from SoftBank.
Yes. What would they do?
Yes.
So you need to know them, right? So I would think you sort of get on there. First of all, SoftBank's not in the early stage game.
No.
So they probably find you.
Like too much money for that.
Too much money, right? To invest $1 billion, writing $10 million checks just takes too long. So I think that they are probably going to find you once you're at a specific scale. And if not, I'd say that, you know, there's probably through your existing investors, they're likely to have some relationship with SoftBank.
In their network.
And I think the thing about SoftBank is that it's definitely a powerful counterparty, right? They're big. They can come in. They sometimes, I think, if they see competitive dynamics, they could potentially go fund one of your competitors if you don't take their money. So kicking off that conversation with SoftBank is kind of a serious thought. So just, you know, you want to tread lightly. But I think if you are right for them and they're right for you, it can be a very powerful match.
Yeah, they're an interesting investor because they're willing to take extremely big bets on people.
That's right. And I think WeWork, actually, something we didn't talk about earlier, but that's an example where co-working, again, it's capital intensive. Yeah. There are a fair number of competitors. And, you know, SoftBank likes to, they picked the already winner in WeWork, right? Just like with SoFi, there were competitors. They sort of picked that winner. And so I think that same with Uber.
All right, Michael, thanks so much for talking about fundraising from SoftBank.
Thank you, Chris.